Thanks, man.
Just in case.
Just in case. All right. Well, good evening, guys. So I was away on a little trip, and Brandon came. So I really want to thank you guys for being so kind to Brandon. It was his first time coming out to a church and doing a class like that, and he was really excited. And I watched this message, and then I heard the feedback from you guys. So I just wanted to thank you for that. And I apologize for being away. I actually went to an 11-day kind of Veterans Day speaking tour, and I went to a couple of churches and did a gala for our foundation in Texas. And then I had the enormous privilege to go to Liberty University. And if anybody's ever been to Liberty University before, it's absolutely incredible. It's the largest Christian university in the world. And I thought someone was joking with me when they asked me if I'd speak there. And but they were serious, and they actually had me come. And I thought, man, you know, it's a lot of people. You know, I've spoken in churches and stuff like that. It's not going to be that big of a deal. 15 people, 15,000. What's the big deal? Well, I walked in there, and I think that's a picture. Yeah. I was a little bit intimidating, a little overwhelming. But it was so awesome because these college kids, you know, sometimes we could look around at the things we see on the internet or the news and really lose hope in our next generation. But these are 15,000, like, young men and women, and they're just praising God, and they do this. It was just absolutely incredible. And to speak in front of an environment like that, and really I went to share my story. It's always difficult sharing your story when you're going to be transparent and share the hard parts of your life. But they were like right there with me. They laughed. They cried. They were just emotional and engaged. And it made it so easy. And it was such a blessing to be part of that. I think I have one more picture of me speaking. And the real blessing on the other side of this is they asked me back. So December 30th and 31st, I'm actually going to be speaking at what's called Winterfest. It's like a Christian music festival there. Kids from around the country, the youth pastors bring them there. And about 12 to 13,000 kids from around the country will be going to look at the university. And I'll get to share my story again there that weekend. So pretty exciting. And that's where I was and was away for. And I didn't know what this week was going to be like, who was going to show up. Because Thanksgiving week, people tend to travel. And also like this spirit of just extreme laziness that comes over us this week. It just kind of infects us. And I kind of felt it myself today, but I'm really, you know, proud of you guys for showing up and to talk about the subject of discipline. And the subject of discipline, it could be hijacked by a lot of motivational speakers. I mean, you just get on the internet, and I was looking for videos of discipline to show you guys, and they're all like videos of the motivation and kind of self-will. There's a lot of great speakers that can motivate you and make you feel good for a moment, and people those videos out there can inspire you and get you fired up, but they're all missing one critical element, and I'll say it in the beginning before we even talk about this class. The critical element they're missing is Jesus Christ and having a relationship with God, because, you know, regardless of what we're capable of or how motivated we are, we all know if no one tells us, our insecurities tell us that we're only capable of so much, and there's going to be times in our life that we're gonna fail. We're not gonna cut it. We're not gonna make it. We're not gonna be able to be motivated or have enough ability to achieve things, no matter how disciplined we are. And without a relationship with Christ and without understanding who it is that God created us to be and his plan for us, then in that failure is when we really crumble. But if we have the short falls of our life and we're in a relationship with him, we understand his plan and we're within his will, then we'll be able to move forward. So I wanna start off with discussing how important it is to be in a relationship with Christ as we pursue a life of discipline. When it comes to discipline as Americans, particularly American men, in general, right, we could be pleasure seekers. Most American men try to avoid any kind of discomfort, any kind of pain, any kind of inconvenience. That's just kind of who we are in our culture. It's not a bad thing. It's just really the reality of who we are. Discipline, however, can be painful. In fact, discipline can be painful on the front end. When we prepare for something, we make sacrifices, that can be painful. We have to give things up. It can also be painful in the back end of hardships, and we have to experience the hardships of lack of discipline, the hard lessons we learn. In fact, discipline has a direct association with pain. It can be physical pain, emotional pain, or spiritual pain, but the pain of discipline can actually be good for us. The Marine Corps, any Marines in here? I always like to point out my Marines, right? The Marine Corps has some really cool sayings when it comes to discipline and pain. I've got two of them written down here. One is, pain is temporary, but pride is forever. I'm sure you guys might have seen it on a t-shirt before. What it's saying there is that the temporary pain of enduring and overcoming something, right? If you get past that, if you get past the temporary pain, the pride could be long-lasting, maybe forever, right? Here's another one. P- Pain is weakness leaving the body, right? I know all the young Marines love that. Pain is weakness leaving the body. The pain that we experience, right? If we can endure that, that weakness of having pain, if we can endure that and get on the other side of that, it's going to lead us to a point to physically grow and become stronger. That pain will actually make us stronger. Motivational speaker Jim Rohn says it like this. We must all suffer one of two things, the pain of discipline or the pain of regret or disappointment, right? We don't get to choose. We're going to suffer one or two of those in our life, the pain of discipline or the pain of regret and disappointment. You see, if you could see beyond temporary pain, if we could see, you could see beyond a temporary pain of discipline in your life, then you could see the relief it brings on the other side of hardship. You could see the relief that it brings to have to be able to avoid the regret and the disappointment in life. And you could experience the discipline. You could experience the benefits of a disciplined life. When I started, I think that Saturday morning, I talked about Mighty Oaks Foundation and some of the work that we do with veterans and how veterans will come to our program and spend a week with us. And really the culminating moment that is the catalyst for change in our life is when they come to the realization that the hardships of their life in Iraq, Afghanistan, their childhood, just life, the bad things that they've experienced in their life didn't lead them to the darkest places in their life. Right, the incidents in Iraq and Afghanistan, as heroic or tragic as those incidents may be, what led them to the darkest moments in their life wasn't those incidents, but the choices that they made every day. And they have never lost the ability to choose, and so they're able to choose to let go of their past and grab hold of their future, move forward in the future without letting that past hold them back. And when they discover that, it's amazing to watch take place. And we're so proud of them. It's just a powerful thing that happens. But to live that out, to actually go beyond that choice and a decision and live that out, we all know that can be really hard. It's easy to make a kind of emotional decision and get fired up and want to move forward. But to live that out in your life, it requires a lot of discipline. And some people really misunderstand discipline when they see it. They call discipline people obsessed. Right, you might have heard people call disciplined people obsessed before. If you're really spiritually disciplined, people might call you a holy roller or a Jesus freak. I actually like that. People call me a Jesus freak. It's a testimony of my faith, I believe. There's a quote in wrestling that we used. It says, obsessed is a word that lazy people use to describe discipline or commitment. Right? Obsessed is a word that lazy people use to describe discipline or commitment. I've seen wrestling t-shirts with that on it. Discipline is about being prepared. It's putting the hard work in advance to be prepared for the battles that are going to come ahead of us. And it's also about improving our weaknesses. If you remember when we talked about the rules and promises, one of the things we talked about is knowing and naming your opponent. Really knowing your weaknesses. What are your shortfalls? What are the struggles in our life? Those are your opponents. Right, the opponents of this world are vast and they're hard, but the opponents within ourselves, our own weaknesses are the biggest enemies that we're ever going to face. And so we could all probably give a list of sins. We all know what they are and the propensity to favor certain sins in our life. But most of us, if we really look at the struggles of our life, we literally look at the sins of our life, the hardships of our life, we could probably point down to one common weakness, one common struggle that we have. I've examined this in my own life, and I named a common struggle of all the things and hardships I have. It really comes down for me to one thing. I spent a lot of time looking at this, and it may surprise you, for those that know my background, what that is. But my biggest struggle in my life, and it has always been, is fear. Being scared. That's been my biggest struggle in my life. Maybe not the fear of like, man, this is going to be hard, so I don't want to do it. Usually if I see something's hard and I'm scared of it, I do it anyway. But the fear of failure, it's been overwhelming for me. It still is something I struggle with every day. That fear of failure has driven me to some successes in my life, but it's also driven me to some major failures in my life. When I was in Afghanistan, I remember I would become almost terrified that I would let my team down, that I would fail the mission. I just would feel this pressure coming on to me, and I'm like, man, I'm gonna mess this up. I'd be so terrified of that. In MMA fights, you're back in the locker room, and you're waiting for your name to be called, the state commission to come out and get you, and you have like maybe a monitor in the back locker room, and you can see the fights kind of, some guy wins, somebody gets knocked out, and you know, that's one fight closer to you, and the clock's ticking, you can't stop it, and I remember this kind of overwhelming like terror would come over me, like this fear, like, man, what am I should be in the stands eating popcorn watching other people fight, but I'm going to get in this cage with this guy that's to try to beat me up, what am I even doing this for? And those things would start coming over me, it's this fear, but I was never scared of getting punched or kicked in the face, I was never scared of the physical dangers, I was scared of failing, I was scared of losing, and it became overwhelming for me. I've faced lots of fear in my marriage. I always thought when I got married, at least for the first probably 15 years of my marriage, that it was inevitable, like we were gonna fail. We were gonna get divorced. Everyone I knew got divorced. That's just kind of one foot in, one foot out. Parenting, I felt for a long time the same thing, that I would not be a good enough dad. I would leave my kids in the wrong place. When my kids, all my kids, when they start driving, I just like knew as soon as every time they get in the car, they're gonna die. Like the fear of that would overwhelm me. Even speaking, getting in front of that crowd, right? The fear of that. Oftentimes I forget the truth that if I'm in the will of God, that I can't fail. Right? If I'm in the will of God, I can't fail. And that's where discipline for me has been hard. The other stuff is easy. Like, and I know it's not the same for everyone, but for me, discipline to like get ready for an event, to apply discipline in my life to become stronger or better at a task, that part has been easy for me. Preparing for an MMA fight, doing a 3-month camp, right? Preparing my meals, weighing myself, losing 35 pounds to make weight, training twice a day for 3 months while I'm banged up and broken. Like, that discipline has always been easy for me. Preparing for a military school, training for a deployment, even to stop a negative habit. Like for me, if I have something that a negative habit in my life, I just could stop. I have the ability to do that. I'm not a good alcohol or substance abuse counselor. Like if you came to me and said I want to stop smoking, I'm just like, well, stop. Like it's stop smoking. You know, stop drinking. That's my mindset. And I know that's not that easy. So that's why I always refer people to someone else for that kind of thing. But that's, I mean, I remember when I was first kind of really becoming a Christ follower, I was like, oh, I curse like really bad. But I was like, well, I'm a Marine. I'm supposed to curse. And I thought about it. I said, you know, like when I'm around people I respect, when I'm around the pastor, when I'm around people that I respect in a professional environment, I don't curse. So I do have control over it. So if I could control it around these people, well, I could control it in front of my wife and kids. And then I'm like, well, if I cannot curse in front of my wife and kids, then I cannot curse in front of other Marines or MMA fighters. And so I was able to just stop that. I've always had that kind of ability to have that kind of discipline in my life. But to do things like overcome fear, I had to be very intentional about it. I had to really dial in to this other area of discipline of life, the area that was hard for me. And that comes in a form of spending time with God. For me, overcoming fear and having a discipline is I have to have a disciplined spiritual life. I have to spend time with God. I have to study his word. And I have to be in a continuous pursuit to understand God's plan for me. And through that, I'm able to discover the security that I find in a relationship with him. I'm able to know that, yeah, like, sometimes ministry is hard and all kind of things go on when you're in ministry, but God's for our ministry. And if I could continue to pursue him, then we'll end up in a good spot. God's for my marriage and he has a plan for my marriage. And it's a good plan. Even though we might fight sometimes and have good days and bad days in marriage, like God has a plan for my marriage. God loves my kids. I love my kids. But the truth is, as much as I love my kids, God loves them more than I ever can. And so they're secure and safe in him. When I travel and speak, to have the peace to know that I'm not going in front of 15,000 people to share my story. It's not about me, it's sharing his story. And when I could grab a hold of that, it takes that fear away, it takes that comfort away. I tell you, when I was excited when I got booked to go to Liberty, but the closer it got, I started thinking, man, I'm not qualified to do this. Like, the President of the United States just spoke there like 2 months ago. What are they calling me for? I'm not qualified to do this. You know, and you start doubting yourself. It doesn't matter if I'm in front of one person, 15,000 or 15 million. If I'm going to share his story, then, you know, why do I need to be qualified? Right? He's qualified to share his story. And so understanding that in a continuous discipline pursuit for him, that helps me every day overcome that fight for fear. But I have to be disciplined to do that. Discipline is something that we could apply to prevent us from experiencing that pain of regret and disappointment. Or we can avoid hurting ourselves or other people with having a disciplined life on the front end. Or like most of us have done, we can learn through experience the hard way, right? That's, we can learn the hard way. But the truth is, we don't have to. Andy Stanley, in the book, The Principle of the Path, he wrote this: experience eats up your most valuable commodity, time. Learning from experience can eat up years. It can steal an entire stage of life. Experience can leave scars, inescapable memories, and regret. Sure, we all live and learn, but living and learning doesn't erase regret. And regret is more than a memory. It's more than cerebral. It's emotional. Regret has the potential to create powerful emotions, emotions with the potential to drive a person right back to the behavior that created the regret to begin with. If regret can be avoided, it should. Discipline can come in two directions, and this is really going to be the where we're going to focus tonight's message. This external discipline, which is defined as control gained by enforcing obedience and order. That's in your book, by the way. If you want to open your books, external discipline is control gained by enforcing obedience or order. But this is the Marine Corps drill instructor. This is the parent. This is the police officer. Why wouldn't you get in your car and go 75 miles an hour down Winchester Boulevard zipping through traffic? Why wouldn't you do that? Because you're probably going to go to jail, right? That's external discipline. There's going to be consequences to your your poor actions. When you go outside of the parameters, there's going to be consequences. That's external discipline. There's a second type of discipline, and that's internal discipline, probably more known as self-discipline. That's restraint exercised over one's own will, one's own impulses, emotions, or desires. It's internal discipline. It's a self-discipline that we all have within us. It's not whether we have it or not. We have self-discipline or not. It's whether we choose to use it and employ it in our lives. This is the understanding that my actions will have results and impacts, good or bad, right? Your actions are going to have results. Sometimes it'll be consequences, sometimes it'll be rewards, but your actions are going to have results. I defined it as this. It's an internal decision to live life and make choices towards a desired result. We all know where we want to be. We all have goals and desires. We know where we want to end up. And so this is living life saying, this is where I want to end up, so I'm going to live my life and make choices that I get lead me in a place that I want to be. I'm not going to make choices that are going to get me off of the place that I want to be, despite how I may feel. That's a very important thing, despite how I might feel. Because when it comes to discipline, it's not about doing things that make us feel good. It's not about doing what we want. It's doing things and living our life and making choices towards the desired result, right? But that isn't always what we want at the time. It's not always something that's going to make us feel good. We talk about cutting weight, cutting 35 pounds. Man, I like to eat. I like to eat, and when I want to cut 35 pounds, do I want to eat that cheesecake? Do I feel like eating that cheesecake? Yeah, I do, but I don't because I need to lose 35 pounds. I don't want to wake up at 6 a.m. and put a plastic suit on and put sweats over it and go run to burn off water weight. I don't want to do that, but I do it because I want to reach the desired results. Many guys that signed up for this 20-week program, they wanted desired results. We kind of pitched a good package at the end. Hey, do you want to be the man that God created you to be? People were like, yeah, I want to be the man that God created me to be. Sign me up. You wanted desired results, but it takes discipline to get there. It takes discipline to get there, to dive in and learn the plan that God has for you. It takes work. It's not always what we feel like doing. It's not always fun, but that's what discipline's about. It's being able to maintain moral courage even when it's hard, despite that it's hard. I've heard people say that character is doing the right thing when no one's looking. I agree, that's true. But what about discipline? I think discipline is doing the right thing when no one's watching. That's when it's hard, when you have the ability to have the self-discipline to make the choice or not make the choice, to make the decision that's gonna lead you away from where you wanna end up or where you actually wanna end up. And for you guys, it's you wanna end up in being the men that God created you to be, that God calls us to be. And if external discipline, right, if external discipline isn't matched up with internal discipline, self-discipline, there will be conflict. I'll give you some examples, right? If a police officer is enforcing the laws of the land, that's external discipline. And if we don't abide by those laws of the land, there's gonna be conflict and there's gonna be consequences. If a parent has rules of his household, that external discipline, but the child doesn't want to abide by the rules of the household, he can't exercise self-discipline, there's going to be conflict in the home. If God's word is external discipline, and we don't live a life obedient to God's word through self-discipline, there's going to be conflict in our lives, and we can't sit back and ask ourselves, why is our life so bad? Why are these things happening to us when we're not having a self-discipline to live our life the way it was created to live, to live out the plan that we were intended to live? When external discipline doesn't match up with our self-discipline, there's always gonna be conflict. Truly successful people in life are able to do both. They're able to accept external discipline and mirror it with self-discipline. This is really essentially the Christian walk. It's at first, God's word could feel like external discipline. But as you see the fruit of being obedient to that external discipline, your desire for those results will shift, and your behaviors will shift to self-discipline. Right? As you experience the fruit through being obedient to the external discipline of God's word, you're gonna see fruit in your life, and it's gonna change your desires, and you're gonna desire that, and you're gonna want to end up in that place that God called you to be, and that's gonna shift to self-discipline. I want to take you through five thoughts with some scripture where the Bible talks about discipline. This is in your books as well. Hey, Hunter, will you give me my water, please? Thank you, Brian. Number one, discipline from God is evidence of a true believer. Right, discipline from God is evidence of a true believer. If you could look at God's word, the external discipline, and shift your life through experiencing the fruit of God's word, right? If you could shift your life to self-discipline, being obedient to God's word, that self-discipline through living out God's word is the evidence of a true believer. In Hebrews 12:5, it says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord." The word chastening will say, in other versions, discipline. "My son, do not despise the discipline of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, he disciplines, and scourges every son who he receives. If you endure chastening, if you endure discipline, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom father does not chasten?" What father doesn't discipline, right? "But if you are without chastening, without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you're illegitimate and not sons," right? If God doesn't discipline you, if God doesn't chasten you, you're no son to him at all. But if God disciplines and disciplines you and chastens you, then you're a son of God, right? And that's something we should rejoice in when we go through the struggles of life and learn the lessons of life, when we face the discipline of not really discipline of God's wrath, but the discipline of life when we go outside of the will of God and we face the hardships of life. It's not because anyone did it to us. It's because we stepped out of line. We walked out of the path that we were intended to live. Number two, God's discipline is good for us. God's discipline is good for us, right? "Behold, happy is the man who God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Almighty," right? Be happy, rejoice when God corrects us, right? And I love my kids, right? And I don't chasten or discipline my kids because I don't like them. I don't discipline my son because I hate him. I discipline my son because I love him, right? That's why. And God disciplines us because he loves us and cares for us. He doesn't always give us what we want, despite how hard sometimes we might pray for it, despite what we feel like right at the time. He doesn't always give us what he wants. In fact, the great theologian Garth Brooks once said, "Some of God's greatest gifts," anybody know? Oh, unanswered prayers, right? "Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers." Garth Brooks said it. The Bible said it first. Discipline is a paradox. Number three, it's painful, yet it's productive, right? There's a pain associated with discipline. We talked about it earlier. There's a pain associated with discipline, but the lessons we learn through that pain are productive. Hebrews 12:11. "Now, no chastening, no discipline seems to be joyful at the present time, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness for those who have been trained by it." This is where kind of the older you get, the more wise you get, the more mistakes you make, the more you learn, right? Why does Mighty Oaks, our ministry exist? From the mistakes of a lot of people, right? Most of our staff has messed up pretty bad. We've learned a lot of lessons, so we got a lot to offer. And that's what this verse is saying here, that it's not, when we get disciplined, it's not joyful at the present time, it's painful. But we're going to see lessons from it. We're going to get fruit out of the discipline, and we're going to be able to move forward into the lives we were created to live, right? Number four, a lack of discipline could eliminate us from achieving authentic manhood. Essentially, a lack of discipline, not being disciplined, not conforming to external discipline by having self-discipline, it could eliminate us from being the people that God created us to be. being the very men that God created us to be. If we don't have discipline in our life, we can miss out on the very nature in which we were created. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, it says, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." What the Apostle Paul is saying here is he disciplines his body. He's letting his body know that he's in charge, right? He might have desires that he wants, but because of his discipline, he's able to say no to those desires. Because when he preaches and he does what he feels he was called to do, he's not going to be a hypocrite. He's not going to be disqualified, right? Because he's disciplined his body. He's in charge of his body. And sometimes we have to let our bodies know that. Number five, discipline will involve self-denial and self-sacrifice. If you're going to be disciplined, sometimes you're going to have to be willing to give some things up. Luke 9, 23 says, Then Jesus said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Sometimes in life, you have to say no to some things. You have to say no to some bad things sometimes, but also there's times in life you have to say no to some good things. You have to say no to some things you want to do that could be good, but they're not great. We have a saying in the margin class coming up. Sometimes you have to say no to the good things so you can say yes to the best things. And that takes a tremendous amount of discipline to do when we really want something because we want it. We're like, I want this. I want to be able to do this. I really want it. I'm entitled to it, so I should. I work really hard, right? I deserve this, right? Sometimes we have to say no to those things so we can say yes to the best things. 10 Kickstarters for a Disciplined Life. This is from the book by John MacArthur called The Pillars of Christian Character. And I'm going to just read out of the book here. I wrote some notes. Number one is start small, right? If you know that you're not a disciplined person, start small, right? Start organizing yourself. Keep your desk clean. Keep your environment clean. Keep your car clean. Do things that are daily, small daily tasks. Start small. Number two, get organized. Make a schedule. Use a calendar. Use a daily planner. Do things that it's going to get yourself organized. Number three, don't constantly seek to be entertained. This is all of us, especially with our iPhones, right? We constantly seek to be entertained, to be distracted. We were created to be producers, not consumers. We were created to do things, right? So we can't constantly seek to be entertained. If we have free time, we should use it to do something productive. Read a good book, have a meaningful conversation. Do things that are challenging and stimulating for us. Number four, be on time. The proper use of our time, our most valuable commodity in this world, is a sign of spiritual wisdom. Ephesians 5:15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Right? If it shows that your desires and responsibility are under control when you can control your time. And it acknowledges the importance of other people's time and that you value it. Number five, to live a disciplined life, you should keep your word. Before you commit to something, you should say, I know the Christian thing is, let me pray about it. You should pray about it, but you should also evaluate whether you're one, capable, or two, have the ability to do that job and have the time to do it, right? Don't just say you're gonna do something because it feels good to say it. Stop, pause for a second, and evaluate if you have time to do it and you have the ability to do it. And if you're gonna do something, if you're gonna say you're gonna do something, then actually do it. And do it the way you said. Your word is important. And it requires discipline to do this. Number six, tackle the most difficult task first. I know the church was just running the Dave Ramsey, right? You guys just ran Dave Ramsey. Financial piece. That's one of the things Dave Ramsey talks about in finances. Tackle the biggest task first, right? And if you could tackle the biggest task first, it allows you to make room to handle the little things. A lot of times the little things kind of fall in place after that. Number seven, if you start something, finish it. Complete your own unfinished projects. And if you're in over your head, don't be ashamed to enlist the help of others. Next session coming up, next class we're going to teach is on brotherhood. And it's talking about doing things together, right? In this, you guys all signed up for something, and we want to see you finish it. But along the way, and we're just kind of scratching the surface here, once we start getting into fight plans and stuff like that, you're going to face some things that are being difficult challenges in your life that you're going to need to overcome. And you're not going to be able to do it alone. You were never created to do it alone. You're not supposed to do it alone. We're meant to be in community and with brothers who are like-minded, facing the same challenges. You're going to face some, if you stick out this 20 weeks, you're going to face some things you're not going to be able to do alone. And that's awesome. You can't do it alone because we're not supposed to, right? And we don't need to. Number eight, accept correction. Correction is external discipline. It helps you develop self-discipline. Accept correction. The scriptures tell us that accepting discipline will also make us wise and that we will gain understanding. Proverbs 19:20 says, listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. Proverbs 15:32, he who disdains instruction despises his own soul, but he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. Right? Accept correction. Don't be so prideful that you're always looking for a fight and not accepting correction. Number nine, practice self-denial. Learn to say no to your feelings or impulses. This is probably one of the most important, they're all important, but from my perspective and working with myself constantly and working with other people, man, self-denial is like the biggest thing because we all want what we want. We all like feel that entitlement and desire to have things. We have to be able to say no to things. We have to say no to what we want, right? This is being able to say no to temptations and show our body who's in control, right? Self-discipline will remind our body who's in charge. Number 10, welcome responsibility. Evaluate opportunities and step into new challenges. This will force you to organize your life so you can deliver what you committed to. None of us can be disciplined enough to be the men that God called us to be. We're not capable. We all will fall short, but two things can get us there. One is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And number two is that brotherhood, that community, that accountability. Those are the two things we need to be able to get there. And in your book, on page 24, they have a section called Spiritual Disciplines and Challenges. And this is where this discipline class, the rest of the classes aren't like this. This discipline class gives you an opportunity to do a little bit of homework. And to achieve this homework, it's going to require some discipline, right? And it starts off with strengthening your core. There's four scriptures here. I don't want to read them to you. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Number two, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119:147 says, I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. Psalm 18:32, it is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. Our discipline, it begins with submission to God in obedience to his word. We have to be pursuing a relationship with him. We have to be pursuing the understanding of who he created us to be and his plan for our lives. And that requires us being in the word. And it takes a tremendous amount of discipline. Maybe fear isn't your thing just because it's mine. You know what it is. And if you don't, then I pray during this time that we're in this 20 weeks that you discover what the core sin, what the core struggle in your life is. Maybe it's more than one thing. But whatever it is, I can assure you that the path to overcome that, the path to be able to deal with that in your life, it's going to start with you making a decision to be in a relationship with God, pursuing his word, and having a discipline to live that out every day because we don't have the strength to do it by ourselves. And number one here, read the scriptures. We give a couple of options for you. There's a Bible app called YouVersion. It's free. It was made by Pastor Craig Gershell in the Life Church in Oklahoma. Amazing pastor, and it's an incredible program. I don't know how many downloads. It's close to like a billion downloads right now. In fact, Jeremy Stolnecker, who spoke at the Saturday morning, he's written a couple of these devotionals. They have amazing devotionals you can do every day. Once you sign up, put this app on your phone, you could do a setting to where it's going to give you a daily scripture of the day, a word of the day. There's tons of Bible apps. That's a really good way to get into God's word. Another is you could go, they have it written on here, it's freestyle. You could start off reading some different books in the Bible. I'd recommend starting off, if you've never really dove into studying the Bible, I'd recommend you start off in the book of John. And I'm going to have Greg, because I know Greg has all your email addresses, he's going to email out a 21-day studying the book of John. It probably takes you maybe 20 minutes a day, every morning. I just did it myself. And I went through, and so it's not only, it tells you what chapter to read, and it has a few questions at the end that helps you understand what you just read. It's a great way to start a disciplined reading of the Word of God and really understand the Gospels. Another thing you could do, and maybe you could do this, not either or, maybe it's a John and, is Proverbs, right? I'm no mathematician, but there's 31 Proverbs, and there's 31 days in a month. And so if you read a proverb a day, it's great for a disciplined life because it's packed with wisdom and everyday application that men could use in their life to make decisions that we need to make in a disciplined life. So there's tons of other things you could do. That's just a few of them that I want to share with you in this book. And again, we're gonna email out that 21-day John challenge. And it's really good. And in fact, as guys graduate Mighty Oaks, it's one of the first things we give them to take that next step. Number two is spending time alone with God. Most of us will say, I'm really busy. I don't have time, right? And I would say to you, you need to work on discipline, right? Because if you have disciplined life, if you're intentional about putting this in your life, you're going to reap the rewards of it. This is being disciplined on the front end. This is being disciplined on the front end to prepare ourselves not to have to experience that pain of regret. And we spend time with God. We were created to spend time with God. In Luke 5:15, it says that Jesus spent time with God. And he's the example. He's the standard. Jesus often withdrew to a lonely place and he prayed. To lonely places and he prayed. In Mark 1:35, it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. He left the house and he went off to a solitary place where he prayed. We were created to spend time with God. We should start our day with spending time with God. If you follow those 10 steps, those 10 Kickstarters, and you start off with getting organized and have a plan for the day, one of the first things in your plan should be to pray over your plan for the day. All right, these are steps to having a disciplined life. At the bottom, make it work. Set a time, stick to that time, set a place, and keep it simple. The next page in your book, it has some examples of how to read, pray, and journal for those who want to go a step further, journal. Number three, I'll close it there, is meditating on Scripture. Find a verse. When you're reading Proverbs, I can promise you, I know barely any of you, but if you read Proverbs every day, there's going to be verses that you're going to be like, man, like looking around like, who knew I was going through this? This is going to be a verse that stick out to you, and you're going to fall in love with that verse. Memorize that verse. Learn it. Learn that verse. Joshua 1:18 says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Right? Learn God's word. Study it. Meditate on it. I'm going to close with a slide up here. There we go. It's one of my favorite quotes about discipline. It's not from the Bible, but I love this one. George Washington says, discipline is the soul of an army. It makes small numbers formidable. It procures success to the weak and esteem to all. Guys, to do this task that we all set out on together is require a tremendous amount of discipline. For me too, right? That fear of showing up here on a Tuesday night and knowing that you guys are coming to be fed into, and am I going to deliver a message that you guys came for? I have to have discipline to prepare for it spend time with God to make sure that I'm not communicating what I think. I'm communicating what God wants to communicate to you guys. It requires discipline on my part, on Greg's part, for all the work he puts into this, on Pastor Brian's part, of all the people required. But it also requires discipline on your part. You signed up for this. You made a commitment. You said, here's the result I want. I want to be the man that God called me to be. Well, that's not just going to happen. It's going to require discipline on your part. It's going to require effort on your part. And it's going to require self-sacrifice. There's going to be Tuesday nights where you're going to say, man, I really want to go, but I don't feel like it. Or, you know, whatever is on TV or whatever else is going on, you're going to have to say no to some good things sometimes so you can say yes to the best things. It's going to require discipline to do that. All right, I'm going to pray with you. Lord, I thank you so much for a group of men who would show up on Turkey Week, Lord. We're all, our minds are elsewhere, families in town, our families are busy shopping, all the things that are going on, Lord, that we would just have the discipline to put those things aside, Lord, and put you first. Put the pursuit of being the men you called us to be, Lord, as a priority in our life, Lord. that we would put those things aside, Lord, and we would pursue getting to know you more, learning your word more, Lord, building relationship with these relationships with each other, Lord. I thank you for men that would do that. It's encouraging to me, Lord, and I pray it's encouraging to each man in here. Lord, we could do this together, Lord. As the 20 weeks of this could linger on, Lord, I just pray that you put a passion and endurance in each of us, Lord, to not endure this, Lord, but to be excited about it, to be enthusiastic about learning your word, Lord, and learning how to be the men you called us to be, Lord, so we can go home and impact our homes, be better husbands, be better fathers, be better friends, Lord, be better citizens of our communities, Lord, and be ultimately, Lord, be better sons of you and impact the kingdom, Lord. And I thank you for these men, Lord, and I just pray over each of them in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.